It's a wonderful thing to be able to have the word, and there's many millions of people would just probably almost die for just a very small portion of the word. So thank you. I think our first speaker is Paul. Is it? I think so. And he'll bring us what he has on his heart.
Are you okay? There we go. Wasn't sure if I had to go first or not. I wasn't given the order, so here we are. Turn with me to Psalm 119, and we're going to start at verse 113 and go to 128 and then make a few thoughts. So I guess it's going to be, what, about 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, something like that, or half an hour, something like that. There's a lot here. Now, you may be, I'm not sure what version that you're reading your scriptures from. Some people do a little different. Some people are really big on a King James version. I personally do like to kind of compare any other translation to the King James version because that's what I know. I grew up with the King James Version. There's something about King James Version that I guess because of my history with it has had a place in my heart. However, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to realize that there is some of the other versions do a pretty good job of explaining it more on a ground level of what the old Bible is talking about, or the older scriptures are talking about. So I'm going to be, I have a King James Version here, but I kind of compared it with the NLT. I know Lynn sometimes talks out of the NLT. NLT, I think, does a pretty close job of actually explaining it and putting it into layman's terms that we understand today on Scripture. So I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, and that's kind of what I'm basing my the rest of the explanations of some of the scriptures. The reason is, one time here a while ago, it was during Sunday school that I was teaching, and I kind of got the two mixed up, and it didn't make sense. So I had read it in the one version and then explained it in the other, and after a while I was like, that was kind of confusing. So I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation in the entirety and then make a couple thoughts. Verse 113. I hate those with divided loyalties, but I love your instructions. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Get out of my life, you evil-minded people, for I intend to obey the commands of my God. Lord, sustain me as you promised that you may live. Do not let my hope be crushed. Sustain me, and I will be rescued. Then I will meditate continually on your decrees. But you have rejected all who stray from your decrees. They are only fooling themselves. You skim off the wicked of the earth like scum. No wonder I love to obey your laws. I tremble in fear of you. I stand in awe of your regulations. Do not leave me to the mercy of my enemies, for I have done what is just and right. Please guarantee a blessing for me. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes strain to see your rescue, to see the truth of your promise fulfilled. I am your servant. Deal with me in unfailing love and teach me your decrees. Give discernment to me, your servant, that I will understand your laws. Lord, it is time for you to act, for these evil people have violated your instructions. Truly, I love your commands more than gold, even the finest gold. Each of your commandments is right. That is why I hate every false way. I think out of this, I'm going to pick four different verses, actually five different verses, and make a few comments, as really the only amount of verses I have, we really have time for. But a couple of verses really caught my attention. Verse 113, especially, caught my attention. The whole thing of, I hate those with divided loyalties. This is something that historically has run very deep with human nature. If you look at Israel, and again, last year I did for the first time in my life a full where you read through the scriptures the whole way. I've read the scriptures since childhood, but never that I did a systematic reading. And I was on a plan I didn't really like, but by the time it got started, I went with it. This year, I started my daily devotional again, and the bottom of your daily devotional, it had Bible in a year. I decided, well, this is done in chronological order. And so I'm following, doing it again this year as a part of my daily Bible reading. And it's amazing sometimes if you read the scripture the second time, how much it makes so much more, you catch different things, put it that way. Tom, I'm sure you're probably one of the older people here will still say there's things that we talked about this morning. Things, you see it differently. This is what has happened with this. I hate those with divided loyalties, but I love your instructions. And going back to the whole Israel thing, it's one thing I'm catching again that Israel has done time and time and time again. And even going back to, I think it was Rachel, what really caught my attention was King David, that time that his wife Michal helped him escape out the window. She hid one of her idols in the bed. And you say, well, that was just a statue that she had. No, it specifically said idol. Why does she have an idol in her room? This is human nature. This is us. This is the trick that the devil has tried so hard for us as in churches, myself included, to get your attention, to divide your loyalties, because he knows you cannot have two masters. A master is someone who gives commands. God and Satan are so far apart from each other. They cannot give the same commands with the same outcomes. Satan will make his commands sound like God's, but the outcome is always, I can guarantee you, is going to be destruction. The other thing I look at is this. It has to do with commands and leadership. Can you imagine how confused my wife would be if she had two husbands? There can't be two leaders in my family. I'm sorry. They say it's just because of my testosterone. No, it's not. There is one leader in my home, and God is no different. God hates infidelity. There's infidelity or attention somewhere else other than him and before him every bit as much as I would in my own marriage. Verse 115, I want to look at that real quick. It has, get out of my life, you evil-minded people. Evil-minded people think evil continually. I've known a person told me specifically that when he drives down the road, he's a money man. He loves money. He would do pretty well anything for money. He said, I'm driving down the road, I'm always thinking of the next way I can make a nickel. Okay. Is it always good? No. But if you look at evil people, if you pay attention to evil in the world, evil never sleeps. Evil-minded people are someone that are used by the devil to do his evil plans. I love the second part of this verse. For I intend to obey. And I'm going to stop right there. I intend. It is intentional. I intend to obey the commands of my Father. How does this work? It has everything to do with your circle of friends. And this is no new thought. I have spent some time over the years talking or going into prison services, especially back in Pennsylvania more than here. And the thing that I heard time and time again, if I'm going to change my life, I have to change my friends. You cannot have evil friends and think that I'm going to be a good influence on them and figure it's going to turn out right. It never will. You're the one that's going to get influenced. This is my level of influence. God is my covering. On my right hand is my wife. On my left hand is my children. There's another circle outside those, and those are my most trusted friends. trusted people that I can trust explicitly with anything and everything and would tell them. Those people are very few. On that outside circle is your other friends, mostly probably where most of you people would be. Not saying you're untrustworthy. But guard your circle of friends extremely carefully, because even your church, they will make a huge difference where you end up. Go to verse 120 quickly. I tremble in fear of you. This is an insanely unpopular saying in our church circles and in our Bible today. God is love. He is. I wrote this down. Why do I tremble? I do. God is a God that has the power of my eternity. He has judgment power. You heard about that this morning. The other thing I love about God, but it also scares me sometimes, He means exactly what He says. If it's here, He means it. There is no lie in His word. Because the other reason I tremble is because He loves me, but He has to break me. I've learned to love Him, but I am in awe of God, but am intensely aware of who I'm dealing and worshiping with. How can you love someone so terrible and so honorable and so loving because He's shown His absolute love? It's kind of a paradox. Verse 127, 128. I want to jump down there. This is the main theme of, let's just read that 127. Truly I love your commands more than gold, even the finest gold. Each of your commandments is right. That is why I hate every false way. The main theme of this section seems to be this. God's laws and commands. We hear God's laws, we hear God's commands the whole way through. Loving and appreciating God's laws. I don't like limitations on my life. My children do not like the boundaries I put on their life sometimes, quite a few times. Sometimes chafing under God's, where I know God, where God wants me to be, where Paul Martin wants to be, is so far different. And do I chafe? But I have learned to be grateful, because in that God saves me. He saves my life. He saved my marriage. He saved me. He's going to save me when I'm on my last breath. And he also talks of begging and praying for His blessing and mercy. That's my prayer. My final thought is this. Learn to know God. Learn from His discipline. This is where the love of God and His command shows up in your life. I'm not sure who's next, but thank you.
Thank you, Paul. That was a lot of food for thought, isn't it? Next we have Steve Delagrange, Psalms 119, 129 through 144.
I'm going to try to read off of my phone so I don't have to wear my glasses to read out of the Bible. So, what Paul said there at the last about learning to love God, I feel like that's what I'm kind of gathered after reading through Psalms 119. And I guess full disclosure, Psalms 119 is not a book that I read much in ever. It's and I don't know that I've heard many sermons specifically on something out of Psalms 119, and it's a little intimidating to me just because it was so long, but it's really challenged me. And thinking about loving God and loving God's Word, it's just over and over again in Psalms 119. And when you say something publicly, you automatically become accountable for it, so... but I shared a little bit this morning in Sunday school just about it's just a little journey, I guess, I've been on about being disciplined about certain areas, in certain areas in my life, and one of them being reading the Bible. And I don't remember exactly who mentioned it this morning in Sunday school, something about having a proper love of the Lord. And if I have a proper love of the Lord in my life, it's not just about being disciplined. It's about communication and learning. So anyway, all that kind of came together with starting to look through Psalms 119 and really encouraged me in that area. Let's start with reading. One half of my phone goes to the correct verse, and the other one I have to scroll to get to. That's two versions here, split screen. Okay, Psalms 119, verse 129, and this is in the King James Version. And I think I am going to need my glasses. I think I'll just go through and read one verse at a time and make a few comments as we go. Verse 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." When talking about the entrance giveth light, the entrance of thy words giveth light, I read a commentary on that, and it had the idea of a tent. A lot of the Israelites would have lived in tents, and when you're in a dark tent and you open the door, how the light just comes in, and that's how God's words are for us. Verse 131, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." When I think of panting, I think of an animal that is, I don't know, maybe a dog playing fetch, or maybe it's a wild animal that is chasing another animal, and they're panting and they're striving to get to what they want. And that's, I guess, where I want to be with God's word. I want to want it that bad. Verse 132, "Look upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name." 132, 33, and 34, he makes four requests there, and I think I'll just go ahead and read those together then. 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so I will keep thy precepts." When I think about God looking at me, and then I need mercy, because when God looks at us, we really need mercy. Just thinking of how holy God is and all that. And so in verse 132, the psalmist is asking for mercy there. And then the next verse, he's asking for direction. And "order my steps in thy word." So that's where we get our direction from, is from God's word. And then 134, he's asking for deliverance from the oppression of man. And I'm wondering, is that evil that is around us, from the oppression of sin, so that I will keep thy precepts, so that I can keep your laws. 135, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes." I'm wondering, when I think about God's face shining on us, kind of gave me the idea of having peace with God, if God's face is shining on us. And 136, "Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." That one made me stop and think a little bit. If it reminds me, like, he's sad because others are not keeping the law, and does that really bring me sadness when I see someone not keeping God's law? And yeah, it prompted me to pray for a love of people in general, not just everyone that we associate with, but I feel like that's something that I don't have, is a proper love for everyone, that it breaks my heart when I see them not keeping God's law. I hit the wrong thing on my phone and I went all the way back up to the top. Guess I should have just brought my Bible if I have my glasses anyway. We are going to verse 137. And I got my light on and everything. Okay. 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded me are righteous and very faithful. Righteous art thou, O Lord. Thinking about who God is, and if I want to know God, God's word is where I need to go to find out who God really is. And talking about God's testimonies or his laws are righteous. They are trustworthy. 139, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. When the psalmist says his zeal has consumed him, I don't know exactly what to think about that. I almost feel like, you know, he's consumed, again, because his enemies have forgotten God's laws. 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And very pure, I thought it was interesting. It wasn't just God's word is pure, it's very pure. 141, I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Being small and despised, nobody likes to feel small and despised. But it says, yet do I not forget thy precepts. And it feels like the psalmist is getting courage there. 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. And when I think about the truth, everybody wants the truth. Everybody's looking for truth, and God's law is the truth. So no matter what kind of problem we are working on, if we want to know what the truth is, we can always go to God's law. 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. And in the NLT, when it says trouble and anguish, it talks about stress there. And what kind of stress, what kind of trouble and anguish are we all going through? And I'm sure there's a long list of it that you could think about. And it says, yet thy commandments are my delights. And in the last verse, 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. God's righteousness is everlasting. And here the psalmist is asking for understanding. And I guess I feel that's where I'm at with everything. I just pray for understanding, so when we spend that time with God in his word, that he can show us what our next step should be. I also found a link. I don't remember the guy's name for sure. Maybe it was David Zurich. I'm not sure. But there is, for every section of the Psalms 119, he has a sermon on it. And I didn't listen to all of them. I listened to a few of them, and they're only like almost a half hour long. And it was very interesting, everything that in Psalms 119 and how he was able to link it to other verses in the Bible. And, yeah, I'm just looking at Psalms 119 in a whole different light than I had before. So thank you to the committee for getting that around. So that's all.
Thank you, Steve. It's interesting. There's so many different aspects of the different approaches to the different ways it's described about God's Word. It's just amazing, and it can become alive to us. Thank you for that. Next, we have Carl Stauffer at 145 to 168, or 160, I guess. I'm not sure. Okay, Carl.
Good evening. Appreciate Paul and Steve, you guys sharing. It's interesting. Other people's thoughts on obviously Psalms 119, but as you look through the scripture, and everybody has different thoughts and different ideas and sees different things, a different perspective or whatever. And Steve, it's okay if you wear glasses. All old people wear glasses, so it's all right. On that note, I was sitting down reading the other day, and there was a pair of glasses. I don't know whose they were. Somebody's reading glasses laying there on the table, and so I picked them up and put them on. And oh, wow, I can see better with them. So I guess I'm getting to that stage too. But yeah, Steve offered me his already on the way up here. Okay. Steve, I had no idea you were sharing tonight, and when you said that this morning about being disciplined, I actually had that in my notes. Some of the things that I've been, I guess, dealing with, struggling with, maybe, is spending time in God's Word and prayer time that I should. And it's easy for me to get up and read my Beside the Still Waters and the 12 verses that go with it or whatever. I enjoy doing that, but then to spend extra time reading, I mean, it's good to do that, of course, but it's not, probably not enough. And to just spend extra time, it takes discipline. And Chris Troyer, is he here? I don't know if he's here or not. He asked me to share the next men's breakfast or coffee, whatever they call it. And I asked him about what I should share about. And one thing he said was maybe something about Spencer's accident and or any other God things in your life that you know where God was present or real. And when I read this scripture, I thought this section right here that I chose to read is a God thing. Like Steve said, and whatever, there's not, Psalms 119 is not a chapter that you go to and read a lot of. At least I didn't. And I thought, wow, when I read these 15, 16 verses, I thought, wow, if I did what the in the front of my Bible, it says that the author is probably Ezra. They don't know for sure. But if I plead pleaded with God, asked for revival, asked for deliverance, asked for whatever this section of Scripture tells me, if I did that and pleaded to God like that, and if you did that, starting with me first, but if we all did that, how powerful that would be. There again, like Paul said, I played around with a couple of different versions, and I chose the New King James. And so I will go ahead and read the whole section, 145 through 160. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. I think it's 4. 4 different times in here he's asking to revive me, Lord. And I take that as a closeness to God. I kind of just went through. I wasn't sure exactly how this is all gonna, whatever, how this is supposed to go for sure, I guess. But I just kind of went through each verse and maybe paraphrased it a little bit. So verse 45 is a cry and a plea to God for, like I said, for just a closeness to God. Verse 45 and 46 are that way. And 147 is rise early and hope in your word. And that's one thing that I was very challenged with, that I could rise earlier in the morning and spend more time in God's word. That's one section that a verse that I thought, you know, I could do a lot better than that. I get up, you know, enough time to where I think I have enough time, but it's nice out, it's whatever, and you sit there and you think about all the stuff you got to do. At least that's how I am. And then you hurry through your devotional or whatever it may be, and you don't spend the time needed because, man, I'm up, I might as well go to work. And, yeah, that I'd be more intentional in spending time in God's Word. Verse 48 is meditate. 149 is revive me. 150 is the wicked come near and they are far from you. The wicked try, let's see, verse 50. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from the law. They approach him, but they're still far, far from God. Verse 151, the Lord is near and his truth. 152, your testimonies are forever. And 153 is deliver me. 154 is revive me again. 155 is wicked don't seek you. they turn their back on you. They don't follow after you. 156 is revive me again. 157 is many are against me, but I am yours. 158 is I'm disgusted. People don't keep your word. 159 is revive me. And 160 is your word is truth and will last forever. And then I have hallelujah beside that. No matter what happens, God's word, God's truth. I thought that when Jay led that song tonight, the first word, the word, what's, I can't think of the title of it now. Huh? The first song. Is it Wonderful Word of the Lord? Okay, sorry. Yeah, but anyway, it talks a lot about the word of God and the word of the Lord. And yeah, I just thought of my notes, of course, when I seen that is 160. Thy word is truth and beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. And they will. We can rest in that promise that God's word and his judgments will last forever. And yeah, I think that's all I have. Thank you, committee, for getting this around. I really enjoyed it. I think we've been here for all of them. And like I said, I enjoy hearing different brothers' perspective and thoughts on the whole chapter. So thank you.
Thank you, Carl. I guess I can say that I missed a lot. We was down in Florida for the first two, and but anyway, some of you were privileged to hear the different things. Next, we have Junior Stauffer, and it's verses 161 through 176.
Good evening. Me too. I want to say thank you for Sunday evening program committee, whoever is responsible. I guess I really enjoyed it. I mean, I don't guess it. I did. And yeah, thanks again. Psalms 119. I thought, well, I read it and reread it and. Sometimes when you read it and you get up here and you, when you go back and sit down and say, oh, I should have said this and this. But anyways, I'll do my best. In Exodus 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why that bush is not burnt. And in verse 4, it says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And as I was studying Psalms 119, that's what God wants. He wants our attention. And I just thought, my thoughts are went to the Moses in the bush here. When he got his attention, then God could use him. Psalms 119, there's a lot of words, precepts, statutes, testimonies, and commandments. And so me being, I guess, kind of not knowledgeable of some of these, I started talking to my wife, and she helped me a little bit. So, and I couldn't pull up anything in my phone. So anyways, every verse in Psalms 119 mentions the word of God under one or another of these names. Law, statutes, commands, precepts, testimonies, ordinance, except verses 90, 121, 122, and 123. I found that it was in her Bible. And I looked through, I didn't look through all the verses, but a greater share of them I looked through, and I found that to be true. Precepts, a good example of that would be the Ten Commandments. That's a general rule to regulate our behavior or thought. Testimony is just simply what God has done in your life. When people sell stuff, they look for a testimony of whoever's using it to tell us if it's good or bad. And statutes is a law or rules that God has laid out. And here in our rest of the chapter verses here in 119, we can see that. And I'm guessing David wrote this. Am I wrong or right? That's from what we gather at home. That's what we come up with. So that's what I would say myself. So I'm going to read it, then go back through and just make some comments. Psalms 119, starting with verse 161 to the end. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but the law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteousness judgment. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done my commandments. My soul hath kept the testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept the precepts and the testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praises when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgment help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek the servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. So here, going back to the beginning, starting with verse 161 there, is the word heart caught my attention. God had his heart. He says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. And I was thinking of our heart is like a lock box that at the bank you can rent them. And the only thing, you get a key, and the only people that can get in there is the person that rents them. And you can put whatever in there, important papers. And I never rented one myself, but you can put important papers. And you come back, and the only thing you can take out is the things that you put in. And I guess I had to think of that as our heart. David put some stuff in his heart, and he could take it back out. And this is the same way with us. If we put the right things in our heart, and then when we face troubles, situations, or whatever, we can pull out the right things. But if we don't put the right things in, we can't pull them back out. And in verses 162, it says, I rejoice at thy word. And it's talking about precious truths. And you go over to Proverbs 23:23. Buy thy truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instructions and understanding. So when we buy something and it's important, we kind of keep that in a special place. And I think that's what he's talking about here. Buy thy truth. Keep thy truth close to you. Keep it dear to you. And then in verse 163, it says, I hate and abhor lying, but the law do I love. David hated sin, I believe. And we should too. We should walk, treat it as a poison snake, I guess you could say. Walk around it if you have to. and keep it away from us. And in verse 164, it says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. And that kind of stumped me, but we was talking at home. That's just more or less a figure of speech, I guess, from what I could gather. It's like to, when you forgive, you seven times seven. Other words, praise him all day long. Let that be in our mouth continually. And verses 165, if you do that, you'll have a peaceable life. Great peace have they with the law, and nothing shall offend them. And I guess I had to think of Tom. A fellow came up to me when I was at work to Jaco, and he said, I didn't know the fellow. I didn't know where he lived. And he said, my neighbor, he said, he's the most peaceful guy. And he said, he even goes out in the fields and talks to his crops. Steve Brook. I think it's Steve Brook. And he said, that just really speaks to me. So people are watching, whether, you know, if we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, they see us regardless. And then 166, it says, obedience. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. And that's what God wants. He just simply wants our obedience. Not to be anything that we're not, but just simply like Moses. He wants our attention. And him only deserves it. And then 167 says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. And I was thinking about that verse, exceedingly. When we love something exceedingly, we treat it that way. I guess when we got married, I loved my wife, and I still love her exceedingly. Someone had made the mention or made the comment at work. He said, when you retire, you're going to find out things are different. And I can honestly say there's nothing I would rather do than set my recliner in the other end of the room and talk or just be with her. And yeah, we don't see eye to eye sometimes, but that's her fault. No, I really enjoy it. And why? Because I love her. So, and then 168, it says, I have kept thy precepts and thy statutes are always before thee. But then in verse 169, it says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. And if we're seeking understanding, I had to think, you know, when we tear into something, we don't understand it. Now they go to their phone and they pull up whatever they're working on, and it tells them step by step how to take things apart or put it together. You know, and that's what our manual is right here. If we're in tune with God, he'll give us the instructions how to do and handle the things that we're dealing with. And I know we don't always have to. It doesn't just come out and say, oh, do this and this, but we have to, I guess you could say, be in his will or read between the lines. But, yeah, we're under God's umbrella. He'll take care of us. And in verse 170, it says, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And we can count on that. If we make our supplication known to him, he will deliver us. And in 171, it says, my lips shall utter praises when thou hast taught me thy statutes. And that's true. We should be, I guess, the happiest when we're the closest to God, because, like they was already said tonight, when we stand before God, you know, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. It's just something that kind of boggles my mind when we stand before a holy God like that. But it's possible because he says it is, and we can have assurance that he'll take care of us. And 173 is, let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. He's asking for a good, he's asking God for his hand, for he's chosen thy precepts. And I had to think of someone that can't walk, or you help them along, you take their hand and you lead them, struggling or whatever, and that's the same way it is in our Christian life. We at some time or other, we struggle, and our brother or sister should be there to help us along, and we, vice versa, we should be helping the other ones along too. And then, 175 says, let me live, and I will praise thee with the help of your judgment. And this is true. If our goal is to praise the Lord, God will give us the strength to do that. And I had to think of David, you know, he made mistakes. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was there, and God, or he seen God, and God helped him. In Psalms 143, there was a verse I was going to read here. 143:6. I stretch forth my hand unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. You know, here I can picture the picture. He took his hand, he hung it out to God, and God took it, and he gave him that living water. And after all, as we go through life, what else is there in life that really matters other than helping our brothers or sisters or whoever? Because we can't take anything with us, materially things. So I trust that this helps someone, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Junior. I was thinking, I wonder how many of you remember what Psalms 119, verse 11 says. I probably should give you more clues. Probably something that, as a young child, most, I would say a lot of you probably know. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And that is a something that is a desire that King David, I believe, was really in his heart, and that's our heart's desire, is that we might hide his word in our heart, that we won't sin against him. Is there any announcements? Okay, then I guess I'm sure I enjoyed the things that were presented to us tonight, and I feel that the Lord has much for us in what he's given us. Harold, let's stand, and Harold, would you lead us in closing prayer?